I want to read with you this morning from Mark's Gospel and at chapter 6. Mark's Gospel and at chapter 6. It's away down the chapter at verse 45. Mark chapter 6 and at verse 45. And I want to read this whole story before I start. And straightway he, the Lord Jesus, that is, constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go on to the other side before unto Bethsaida while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was now in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. For they all saw him, and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them, and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wonder, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. And when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. This story, like so many other stories about our Lord Jesus Christ, the scene is all centered around the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee, 14 miles from north to south and 8 miles from east to west. And many mighty miracles of the Lord Jesus were performed in and around the shores of the Sea of Galilee. In fact, in this very chapter 6 of Mark's Gospel, before this reading, beginning at verse 45, our Lord Jesus had fed the 5,000. And he fed the 5,000 just there beside the Sea of Galilee. Of course, there were other miracles of the Lord Jesus, and he performed miracles under the sea. You remember in Luke chapter 5, when he said to Peter, Launch out into the deep and let down your nets. Peter only let down the one net, and a multitude of fishes were caught that day. Again, in John chapter 21, he said to them, Cast your net on the right side of the ship. And again, there was a great multitude of fishes caught that day also. And the Lord Jesus performed miracles beside the sea, and under the sea, and above the sea. Of course, he calmed the storm in Mark chapter 4. But here the story's different again. For again, he's performing a mighty miracle, this time upon the sea. For he's going to walk on the waters, walk out to meet the disciples in the midst of the sea. Yes, here's the Sea of Galilee. And it says there at verse 45, And straightway he, the Lord Jesus, constrained his disciples to get into the ship. I think the word ship at times is misleading. When we think of a ship today, we think of a great yacht or possibly an ocean-going liner with multi-storied accommodation. But the ship was just a little boat, a rowboat, maybe with a sail, maybe without a sail. And here's the disciples getting into this rowboat, and they're going to cross the Sea of Galilee, and they're going over to the city of Bethsaida. Capernaum was the city, and Bethsaida was the seaport to the city of Capernaum. And it says, while he sent away the people, 5,000 were returning home, and the disciples were in the ship, out at sea. And verse 46 says, "And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray." That's the first point I want to make about the Lord Jesus this morning. The Lord Jesus, the supplication that he made, he left the people, he left the disciples, he went up into a mountain to pray. So often we see the Lord Jesus praying in different places. He prayed in the river at his baptism. He prayed in the wilderness at his temptation. He prayed in the garden of Gethsemane at his arrest. He prayed on the cross at his death. And here he is praying up on the mountain. One of those hills just there beside the Sea of Galilee. It's not so much the place of prayer or even the position of prayer. Sometimes he stood and prayed. Sometimes he kneeled down and prayed. Even when we read about David in the 63rd Psalm, David is praying, lying on his back as he's lying in bed. But it's not the place. Or it's not the posture. It's the period of time I'm thinking much about. Just how long did the Lord Jesus pray on that mountain top that day? It says in these previous verses that the day was far spent. Let's think and say it was about 4 or 5 in the afternoon. And the disciples go out in the ship to cross the sea. And our Lord Jesus goes up into the mountain, say around 6 o'clock p.m. How long is he there praying? For it does say down this little story this morning, he came to them about the fourth watch of the night. That's between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. What was the Lord Jesus doing from 6 p.m. to say 3 a.m.? 9 hours. Were those 9 hours in prayer? He felt the need to pray. How much he prayed. What an example he's left us. What about us this morning? How much time do we pray? How much more time should we give to prayer? Yes, the supplication that the Lord made. He's up the mountain praying. And then it goes on to say this in verse 47. "And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea." It's in the middle of the sea. Just supposing it's 4 miles out into the sea. That's quite a distance. And the little ship or the rowboat, it's in the midst of the sea. It's about 4 miles out, let's say. And he was alone on the land. And then it says here, "And he saw them." You know, it didn't matter to the Lord Jesus where he was up on the mountain top. It didn't matter where the disciples were 4 miles out into the sea. It says he saw them. He saw them through the darkness of that night. Or he saw them through the midst of that morning. It didn't matter about the darkness. It didn't matter about the distance. The Lord Jesus could see them. You know, in a very similar way this morning, friends, here we are. We're just like these disciples. We're in the midst of the sea of life. Where is our Lord Jesus this morning? He's up yonder in heaven's glory. And he's looking down. And he sees us each and every one. And he knows where we are in the midst of the great sea of life. Yes, here was the Lord Jesus, it says, "And he saw them." And it says, "And he saw them toiling and rowing." You know, the Greek word that's used here for toiling is, it means they were in trouble. It means they were being harassed. It means that the problems out on the sea that night. And the Lord saw them struggling. Yes, I believe the Lord could just focus in on their very faces and the stress and the strain that showed on their faces. What must have been like down in the midst of their heart? He could look into their faces. He could see into their souls. He knew exactly how they were feeling. Friend, he knows all about us this morning. And he knows all about the struggles that we have in life. He could see them. He could see them toiling in rowing. And then it goes on to say this, and when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land, he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary. Oh yes, the storm was blowing. So different from the storm in Mark chapter 4, for in Mark chapter 4, the Lord calmed the storm. But here in Mark chapter 6, the storm is allowed to blow. And sometimes, in the midst of life's problems, the Lord just allows the storm to blow against us. Sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes we cry to the Lord. Sometimes we wonder why the storm is allowed. I remember some time back, going from office to office, and one day I went into this office and there was a little cartoon picture up on the wall, and I went over to read it. And it was beautifully portrayed, and it said these words, "Cheer up, things can't get much worse." But then I noticed somebody else had penciled in below it, so I cheered up and things did get worse. But isn't that true, friends? Sometimes the struggle goes on, and sometimes the struggle doesn't ease up, and sometimes the struggle becomes even more intense. Sometimes the Lord just allows the storm to continue to blow. Yes, the supplication the Lord made, the struggle the Lord saw, the storm that the Lord allowed. Of course, we see in the very next verse when it says that he saw them toiling and rowing. He did something about it. The steps that the Lord took. And you know, it says there in verse 48, it was about the fourth watch of the night. Somewhere between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. He'd been on the mountaintop. He'd been watching them all these hours, perhaps praying for them all this time. And then something needs to be done. And about the fourth watch of the night, it says, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea. The Lord Jesus is walking on the Sea of Galilee. That's a miracle. That's a mighty miracle. I believe in miracles, for I believe in God. Yes, the Lord Jesus did walk upon the water that morning. Amazing. But I believe it with all my heart. The Lord Jesus can do the impossible. What's seemingly impossible to us is verily possible with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Lord steps out and walks in the water to go to them, to meet with them. He cometh unto them walking on the sea. Remember, it said that the storm was blowing, the winds were contrary. It was a rough sea, it wasn't a smooth sea. Sure, it doesn't matter how rough or how smooth the sea is. It's no problem to the Lord Jesus to walk on a rough or to walk on a smooth sea. And he went out for to meet them. And then it says this, verse 49, but when they saw him, just imagine being in the boat that morning. Just imagine looking out into the distance and seeing this figure walk upon the water towards you. You would be frightened. I would be frightened. We'd all be frightened. We'd all be scared out of our wits. They never witnessed the like of this before. And so it says this in verse 49. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit. They supposed they had seen a ghost. It says, and they cried out. Again, the Greek word that's used here, it means that they screamed. Full-grown men, experienced fishermen, men that had not managed a storm, yet they saw this figure that morning, and they squealed, they screamed out of their wits. What a moment it must have been to see this figure moving towards them. Yes, they cried out. And then it says this, verse 50. For they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. He immediately tries to calm them. He immediately says, look here, it's me. I've often said to myself, it's the Lord, who else could it be? Wonder who else they thought it could possibly be. It couldn't be anyone else, only the Lord himself. For only the Lord himself could walk upon the waters. And they saw this figure. And they feared, and they squealed, and they screamed, and they were troubled. And the Lord Jesus says, be of good cheer, be not afraid. Stop this very moment. That's what the Greek word says. Stop this very instant. Don't fear anymore. It's me. I'm here. You know, here was the Lord Jesus coming to these very scared disciples. And we can see instances of the Lord Jesus in other places with other people. And how the Lord Jesus wonderfully comes to them. You remember the woman called Mary. Mary Magdalene. Mary on that first Easter Sunday morning that ever was. She thought she'd lost the Lord. She thought he had gone forever. And she's in the depths of great sorrow. The world had fell out of the bottom of her boat, as it were. And yet, you know, the Lord Jesus wonderfully appeared. When the Lord Jesus says that morning, Mary, it only took that word. It's as if the Lord Jesus was saying, Mary, it's me, I'm here. There's no need to fret anymore. And the Lord Jesus came to the disciples when they were scared. And the Lord Jesus came to Mary when she was in deep sorrow. You remember on the same Sunday, the Lord appeared to the great apostle Peter. My, he was the one that was so brave. When you die, I'll die with you, he said. And yet with oaths and with curses, he denied the Lord and went out and wept bitterly. Yet on that very first Easter Sunday morning, the Lord Jesus, he went out and found Peter. And he restored Peter. You know, the Lord Jesus can come to some of us at times when we're straying and we're getting away from him and we've gone away. The Lord just comes and says, look here, it's me. And Peter was wonderfully restored. In John chapter 21 again, speaking of the resurrection death. You know, the Lord Jesus said to his disciples to go up into Galilee to wait for him. And they waited and waited and waited. And then, like so often, Peter, he takes the lead and he said, I'm fed up waiting, let's go out and fish. And that night, 7 of the disciples, they went out fishing. And it says they caught nothing. And yet as they're coming in the morning light, they saw the figure of the Lord Jesus on the shore. And he's standing there. And I believe he was standing on the great shore of their disappointment. They're downcast. They're depressed. They're sad. thought nothing. Yet the Lord Jesus appears. And these sad disciples, you know, when they saw the Lord, when John says to Peter, "It is the Lord." Everything's well. Everything well is well when the Lord Jesus comes alongside. You know, it says here in verse 50 again, he says they were troubled immediately. He talked with them. He said unto them, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." And he went up unto them into the ship. You know, as soon as he got into the boat that morning, you know, the whole situation, it changed. The whole situation was so different. It says he went on to them into the ship and the wind ceased. Oh yes, the wind ceased. The great storm that was blowing, it calmed down. Sure, the Lord's there. It makes all the difference. Yes, the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves. I think at the first they didn't realize it really was the Lord. They're so amazed. They're dumbstruck. They're flabbergasted, as another translation puts it. They're amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered, who is this? They're not really sure. But then it goes on to say this, "For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened." You know, we're so easy to forget. So easy we can forget the goodness of the Lord. The Lord blesses us. The Lord helps us. And then suddenly when we get into a fix, we lose all our senses and we're filled with fear and we don't know what to do. And you know, the Lord, we just forget about the goodness of God. But then the Lord draws near and the Lord blesses. Yes, here's these disciples. They considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. And when they passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And they drew to shore. And when they would come out of the ship, it says, straightway they knew him. They knew who he was. Wasn't any mistake now. Oh, it's the Lord. Oh, it's the Lord has come. Oh, it's the Lord that has done all this. Friend, we're in the midst of the sea of life this morning. There's struggles ahead. It's not easy. But you know, the Lord can come and draw strangely, wonderfully near and bless us and help us and encourage us. May the Lord bless his word for his name's sake. Amen.